This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by WATD reporters Tom Gorman and Bobby Clark asking questions tonight. It's the primary election race for state Senate, the Republicans for the Plymouth-Barnstable District. Matt Moratori and Kerry McRae are in the studio with us, both vying to be on the ballot for the general election this fall to face Democrat Dylan Fernandes. Now, Tommy Ewald is our own Charlie Fulmer, and we're joined by our media partner, Local Scene, PAC-TV. Our format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than 2 minutes for the open, and a one-minute close, please. Then we have a round of questions from the reporters, with the answers limited to a minute, and then a lightning round where answers are either yes or no, or two sentences tops. The reporter will decide. We find people running for office have a problem with that. That's why we love doing the lightning round. Also, please try and keep your answers to around a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. Now, if you do go over, I give, just so you know, with the cards there, as you can see with Charlie, green is go, yellow is 10 seconds left, and red is stop. Then you get a five-second grace countdown. If you're still talking, the bell. And if you're still talking after that, we cut your mic. Just so we know where we stand with that. Now, we did choose the opening and closing order out of the official WATD stand-in newsroom koozie. And we are going to start with Kerry, and then we're going to go to Matt, and then we will reverse that order at the end. So let's say good evening to our candidates. And let us know also, in case you're wondering, the Plymouth-Barnstable District, Plymouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Plympton, Bourne, Falmouth, Mashpee, and Sandwich. Eight towns. So let's say good evening again, and let's begin with Kerry.
Thank you so much. I'd like to thank WATD for holding this forum and the listeners who want to make a difference in our district. My name is Kerry McRae. I'm the conservative Republican running to be your next state senator for the Plymouth and Barnstable District. As a wife, mother, grandmother of six, soon to be seven grandchildren, small business owner and educator, I am ready and equipped to serve you on day one. I am currently serving my second term on the Bourne School Committee, serving on multiple subcommittees, including policy, curriculum, and finance. I have always been involved in my community, whether coaching sports, volunteering on the PTA, or local veteran organizations. Service is in my blood. I have a background in finance and received my bachelor's degree in business administration from Curry College. I ran for the seat in 2022, and despite being massively outspent in a tough election cycle, I garnered 44% of the vote against the incumbent Democrat. I ran because we need a balance of power and people who are willing to push back against the one-party rule on Beacon Hill. I will be ready on day one to fight to make Massachusetts more affordable for all citizens, with a priority for senior citizens and veterans. I am committed to preserving our Second Amendment rights. I am a strong advocate for parental rights and medical freedom. I will fight to amend the right to shelter law to support only Massachusetts citizens. I will fight to end illegal immigration in our state. My bold stance on eliminating the sales tax and ending illegal immigration shows I'm not afraid to take on tough issues. For far too long, the concerns of the independent and Republican citizens of the Plymouth and Barnstable District have been put on the back burner, and that must end. I humbly ask for your vote in the Republican primary, either during early voting this week or on September 3rd. Thank you again.
Thank you. That was the opening statement of Kerry McRae. And now we're going to go to Matt Moratori.
Thank you so much. Thank you to WATD for hosting this. Thanks, Christine, Bobby, Tom, and Charlie for being here and taking time out to do this. Again, I'm Matt Moratori. I'm a proud father and husband, father of six beautiful daughters and a granddaughter now. My wife, Kristen, is an elder law attorney, estate planning attorney in Plymouth. And as a former co-owner of local daycare centers and now current partner in a senior living consulting firm, I'm able to gain a keen sense of needs of the working families and seniors. I'm grateful to have served the town of Plymouth for the last 10 years as state representative and as a member 10 years prior to that as a finance committee and the select board. Currently, I serve on several Plymouth boards and organizations, including PAC-TV, BID Hospital Plymouth Advisory Board, Sunrise Rotary Club, Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, Plymouth Youth Development Collaborative, and Plymouth Regional Economic Foundation. And those experiences have also given me a greater knowledge of our community. As a state rep, I serve on various legislative committees, such as the House Ways and Means Budget Committee, the Committee on Small Business and Municipalities, and Healthcare Financing. Additionally, I've been appointed to many task force and commissions during the last 10 years, including the Plymouth County Substance Abuse Task Force and the Commission on Human Trafficking, the State Commission on the Status of Persons with Disabilities, the Northeast Fire Protection Commission, and the Non-Emergency Human Service Transportation Task Force. I just recently recorded my 2000th vote, and I built relationships across the aisles with colleagues throughout the Commonwealth to pass legislation to improve mental health, housing opportunities, education, and legislation to fund the Commonwealth's infrastructures. This election is about bringing a balance of power and common sense legislation to state government. It's about solving the migrant crisis. It's about affordability in Massachusetts so people don't leave Mass. And it's about electing someone who has a municipal, business, and state experience to hit the ground running. I've enjoyed working in the legislature and hope to do so and continue to build upon those experiences. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you very much. Again, that was the opening statement with Matt Moratori. Now we're going to go to WATD's Bobby Clark for the first question.
Good evening, everyone. This is my question, and Matt, you've just been talking, so you're wound up, so I'll go to you first. What do you see as the biggest issue that folks in the eight towns that you would be representing are concerned about, the issue that people talk to you about repeatedly?
Yeah. So, to date, we've knocked over 9,000 doors in the eight communities, almost 9,100 at this point. And the one thing we keep hearing over and over is what I just touched upon is about affordability. It's about affordability in Massachusetts and people that have been leaving Massachusetts, particularly retired people that have left. Younger people that are coming here can't afford to stay here. I have children in their 20s that can't afford to buy a house. There's the affordability of groceries, health insurance, you name it. There's an affordability issue. And a lot of it is tied to the migrant crisis, because I hear that a lot as well, and particularly the housing. And so, you know, we're spending over $1 billion the last fiscal year on the migrant crisis, another $1 billion this year. And we have to figure out a way to get this budget under control. We still have a hard time with meeting our revenue goals in the state, and that's one of the reasons why. So it's the affordability tied with the migrant crisis that really seems to be the issue I keep hearing.
Same question, Carrie.
Yes. You know, I kind of mimic what Matt's saying here, that, you know, the immigration is a big piece. There hasn't been one door that we haven't knocked on that people have said, what are you going to do about the immigration issue? And that's because they link it and they see the correlation between the immigration, the illegal immigration, the resources that are being spent on, you know, people that are here that we can't sustain. And I think that's the biggest thing is so the affordability, and we're seeing that we're going to the grocery stores and things are so expensive, knowing in the back of our minds that, you know, we're giving $64 a day per person, you know, for food and for resources. We're paying over $1 billion just for housing. And all of those expenses are making everything crazy expensive. You know, in the town of Plymouth, for instance, to rent a three-bedroom home, it's now about $3,300 to $3,600, whereas 10 years ago it was $1,800.
I'm just going to ask a quick follow-up question, if that's okay. We're hearing this a lot from people running for office and people who are wanting to send in questions to candidates about the migrant crisis, and they keep referring back to the right to shelter law that was passed here in the early 80s during the Dukakis administration. Mm-hmm. People saying, we've got to repeal that. How realistic is it for you to think in a legislature controlled by the Democrats that would ever happen? Carrie?
Well, I think it will happen because you're already seeing Governor Healey is realizing finally that this is a problem. So I think you're going to see that the people are going to come together and make some sort of reasonable accommodations. I personally think it should just be for citizens. You know, I don't think it should be necessarily a residency, you know, requirements and things like that. It should be for citizens. If at that point we can afford to support those people, then we can open it up to people who want to come here who are just residents.
Same question, Matt. I mean, you've been in the trenches there. You know how hard it is to get anything passed.
Yeah, exactly. And to answer your question straightforward, there's no way in hell that the Democrats that leads the House or the Senate are going to repeal it at all. This law, as you said, was signed by Mike Dukakis back in 1983. It was meant for families of Massachusetts that had a need for shelter. And so what we have done as a Republican caucus on the House floor is we've asked, okay, let's have a 12-month residency agreement then if you don't want to repeal it. Let's do 12 months. So you have to be a resident of Massachusetts. Didn't want to do that. Let's do 6 months. Let's do 9 months. Let's do 3 months. We had all these votes on it and still didn't want it. And now the governor is now starting to come around because we're overloaded with people. And even we have people that are on a waiting list trying to get into shelters. It's never going to end. And we have our own people that need housing as well. Mm-hmm. So we need to do something on that line. And I hope the governor will continue on that course of actually making that happen.
I'm just going to do one more follow-up question. In your experience, both of you, do you think that this issue, from what we're hearing, this seems to be, we're hearing more about this issue than anything, and I've been here for over 30 years. Is that your experience, Matt?
Absolutely. It's a number one issue that people keep talking about. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're talking upon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to my own Democratic colleagues who quietly will tell me it's an issue for them as well, but they're afraid to speak up against the establishment.
Okay. Carrie, is this what you're hearing from people out campaigning?
Oh, absolutely. And I will say, too, that, you know, I don't necessarily agree with Matt on that we will never change it. The reason why it won't change is because we don't have enough Republicans in office. And when you have over 90, Democrats that are just going to roll right into this election unopposed, that's the problem. What we can do as Republicans and independents, frankly, you know, get involved and run against these people, because that will make change. That will make a difference when people start, you know, doing like what I did, get up and decide to run.
30 seconds, Matt.
Yeah, just to correct Carrie, it's 135 Democrats in the House out of 160, and there's 25 Republicans. And yes, I do agree, we do need more, and that's why I'm running for a balance of power. We do need more Republicans, but we'll never get that number in my lifetime.
30 seconds. You want to add anything to that?
I don't necessarily agree with Matt on this one. I think that, and what I was referring to was the seats that aren't being opposed or whatever. You know, that's what I was trying to refer to. But I will say that I think that, you know, when you see that the majority of people that are in the Commonwealth are independents, they're not like us Republicans, they're not the Democrats, they're independents. Those people need to stand up, push back. And if they decide to run and get involved, we can move this in my lifetime.
You're listening to a political forum here on WATD. It's a Republican primary for the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat. Matt Moratori and Carrie McRae are in studio. WATD's Tom Gorman, a question for the candidates.
Not just to follow up about the discussion about the migrant crisis, what steps can be taken to resolve it?
Matt, let's start with you.
Well, like I said, I think we need to continue to work with our colleagues on the House and the Senate. And on the Senate side, if I'm fortunate enough to get elected, that's what I'll do, try to work with more Democrats to get the Healey administration to make these changes. And if we could do it legislatively, that would be the best way to do it. But we see the crack now. We see the governor actually seeing this as an issue. We just need to see the Senate president and the speaker to do the same thing so we can bring this forward.
Same question, Carrie.
I think part of the issue that we're seeing right now is now you have Governor Healey who is sitting there saying that, you know, you're going to have 5 days. Once your time is up, then you're going to have 5 days to get out. That is not going to solve the issue, because now those people, including children, which should not even be involved in this situation, are going to be on our streets. And what's going to happen then? It's not going to fix it. What we need to do is we need to speed up whether or not these people even qualify for amnesty. And if they don't, we need to return them back to their country. And, you know, people don't like talking like that because they feel bad. But I think about like a life raft. If it only holds 20 people, we've put 200 on it, no one's going to survive. And that's what's going to happen here in our state.
If I may.
Okay.
Just to be clear, too, this is a federal government issue that's been dropped on our doorstep. And we really need to be pushing back on the federal delegation. And on, after this national election is over, we hope that there'll be some changes on the federal level. That's what's going to change this. We could do whatever we can here in Massachusetts, but until the federal policy is in place, we'll never be able to get to that point.
Okay.
essentially, we've been talking about affordable housing in all of this. And one of the efforts of the governor relative to affordable housing is the MBTA communities bylaw. Do you think it's fair, Matt?
I don't think it's fair. And I'll tell you why. I think there's some good parts of it to try to create more housing. We are over 200,000 units below where we should be for housing. And it's been decades before we've really been pushing this. So even though I didn't support the housing bill that just went through, I think it was $5.4 billion housing bond bill, and I didn't support it because of what happened to the MBTA bill, because it takes away local control. A lot of that in the housing bond bill takes away a lot of the local control, and it puts it on the state. Same with MBTA law. It's taking the local officials out and the local people out of it.
For people who don't know, explain how the MBTA communities bylaw takes people out of it.
So you're forced to actually put a certain amount of housing in place. And if you look at Plymouth, for example, we already have about 785 units at Cordage Park that was built prior to this law being put in place. So we asked the question when it came out, all right, well, we've built these 785 units. We built it because the train station was there. We got 40R funding for it. We got workforce funding for it, another 40R, to do that. Can we at least grandfather those in? The answer was no. And now what they're doing, they're going after communities who are not voting, like Milton and Marshville, and they're suing them to actually do it. And we shouldn't have a state government telling cities and towns what they have to do and then suing them for it.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's the government overreach. And the reason why they're doing this, because, frankly, they can get away with it. And until you have towns like Duxbury and others who are pushing back and saying, wait a minute, then you have other towns that are getting brave and are saying, no, we're not going to stand for this. That's where we're going to make change. It's not just about the legislators that we elect. It's about the constituency backing up the legislators so they could be more effective up there too.
30 seconds, Matt.
Yeah, and one of the other things I want to add to that too is that what it doesn't take into consideration is water and sewer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of towns have issues with water and sewer. You know, that they don't have the capacity to actually do it. So it really doesn't take that into consideration. So that's why you need the local control to have some control of this.
Do you want to add anything else,
yeah,
Carrie?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think what Maura Healey and her administration is trying to do is change the, change the Massachusetts. You know, if I want to live in the city, I'll move to Brockton, New Bedford. I used to live in New Bedford. My parents moved us from New Bedford. My father was a police officer, and he was in the Coast Guard. And you know what? He wanted a different life, not a better life, but just a different life than what he grew up with in New Bedford, and moved to Buzzards Bay. This is the problem, is they're trying to move everything and forcing it into these communities. And there's a reason why people live in those communities and choose to. They're trying to change everything. We've got to push back.
I just want to do a quick follow-up. Hope you don't mind me jumping in front of you, Tom. He's so polite. I love that. And it was about the MBTA Community Zoning Act. I know you think that it's, you know, not effective, but here I... This is a little bit different angle. Do you believe it actually solves any housing issue?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it does, because the issue is you have, with affordability, it's like 10%, if I'm correct, is, you know, deemed you have to have affordability. Mm-hmm. But the rest of it is fair market value. People can't afford fair market value. I was just telling my husband, we were driving here, and, you know, the roads are horrible. We've got, you know, huge grass piles. I mean, it's really not that pretty. And I thought to myself, these guys and women that work for DOT making $60 an hour, right? They're making good money, $45 to $60 an hour. They can't afford to live on their own in Massachusetts. Well, you have to make $113,000, $114,000 as a single person to rent your own place and have your own. I mean, that's crazy. That's part of the problem, too, is we are not making things affordable for anybody. Not just the affordability 10%.
What do you think, Matt? Does it actually solve any housing issue?
I think it solves some of it. Yes, I do. I think there's a lot of good parts of that MBTA zoning law that does solve a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But the housing bond bill solves some of it as well. There's a lot of tools in the toolbox that we need to actually solve a lot of this to get to that 200,000 that we're actually behind. But with that, there's 177 communities that are really forced to do this. And many of these communities just don't have the capacity to do this. So it's the forcibility is that a word, forcibility? It's forcing people to actually, forcing communities to actually do it that I really resent. But I do think there is some help.
Okay, let me ask you a follow-up question of this. You got to get anything like that with change, you got to have the will, you got to have the skill. Do you think that that's possible in Massachusetts?
I think there is a will and there's a skill in Massachusetts. I believe in the people in Massachusetts and people in municipalities that do the right thing. And I've seen that just in Plymouth in the 10 years that I've been serving and 10 years before that as a local official. So I do think that people get it. It's all about supply and demand. Supply and demand. We need more housing, and then the affordability kicks in. But that's not going to happen until we have more houses.
Okay, what do you think, Carrie? Will and the skill? Do you think it's here in Massachusetts?
Oh, I think it definitely is. But I think, again, I think it's more about, you know, collaboration with the communities and the leaders and saying, like, if you guys don't want this, I got your back, but you got to be with me to fight this.
Okay.
And I think we're seeing that now.
Let's go to you, Tom Gorman. Questions for the candidates.
What can be done to make housing affordable in Massachusetts?
Let's start with Carrie.
Well, the first thing, I think, is there's a lot of people that are here that frankly shouldn't be here. We don't have enough homes. We don't have enough rentals. We don't have it. And right now we have people that are in hotels. We've got, you know, citizens that have to go to hotels and pay nightly rates because we don't have rental units. So, yeah, we definitely can make things more affordable. I think part of it is, you know, putting the resources that we're using towards illegal immigration to our towns and communities. You know, we often hear legislators say, I brought back this much money to your community. I brought this much money back to your community. Well, that means that money shouldn't have been taken anyways. That means that you should only be taking from the communities exactly what you need to run whatever, you know, that's our piece of the pie. But if we're bringing back $1 million, $1.6 million, that means that was money that you shouldn't have had to begin with.
Same question, Matt.
I think the only thing I'll add to that is, again, the housing bond bill that was just passed, the $5.4 billion bill, I think that's going to add a lot to this over the next several years for development projects. The small units like Plymouth has passed that bylaw. You can put small housing in your house. Mm-hmm. And this bill has that as well. So I think there's a lot of good things in this bill, even though I didn't vote for it because of the local stuff. But there's a lot of good things in that will actually help with it.
Let me ask you a follow-up question to that. We're talking about affordable housing, lack of rentals. If anyone has ever owned rental property in the state, they know basically landlords have no rights in the state of Massachusetts. Right. And there are people that can move into a house and not pay a penny, and it will cost you probably between $8,000 and $10,000 to get them out, and they can stay there. And people really know how to game the system. Do you think that will ever change? It's not like all these landlords are horrible. I think people hesitate to get involved in rentals because landlords have no rights in Massachusetts. Carrie, what do you think?
Oh, I think it absolutely can change, and I think it needs to change because, you know, that's part of the problem, too, is you have landlords that are like, you know what, geez, if I can get this much from the state and I can rent to the state, they're going to pay me $4,000 a month, mm-hmm. whatever. If they trash the place, then afterwards I'll have the revenue to go back and fix it, right? But that also makes the rents more expensive because they know that there's a chance that they're not going to be able to get the people out, they're not going to pay anymore, and nobody is defending them. Now, look, there needs to be a balance, right? Because you also hear about landlords that aren't doing the right thing mm-hmm. either. But the rights to the tenant far out. And we have an issue. We don't have enough rentals. I get phone calls from people telling me in the housing departments that they have units that are not rented, that are empty. So there are units out there. And it makes you wonder, why are they not being rented?
What do you think, Matt? Do you think things need to change?
Yeah, I do. The only thing I'll add to that is absolutely they need to change. I think we need to balance that, as Carrie said, balance the rights of landlords. And I do hear a lot of people just in my neck of the woods that, you know, would be happy to get more units and buy more units and build more units. But because of the issues with people that are renting and the laws are on their side and not on the landlord's side, they just don't bother in Massachusetts. And they'll go somewhere else like New Hampshire or somewhere else to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Did you, Bobby, did you want to ask a follow-up question?
I don't want to ask a follow-up, but I want to ask a question.
Okay.
She's eager.
She had enough of that.
Yeah. Yes, I'm going to switch topics a little bit.
Okay.
The State Department of Environmental Protection denied Holtec's request to dump 1.1 million gallons of radioactive waste into Cape Cod Bay. What would you do to ensure that that ruling sticks? Matt?
Well, I have been very outspoken about this for a couple of decades now on Holtec. I know the pros and the cons of all this, and I was an advocate of not having the water dumped. We'll continue to work with DEP. But as you know, it's a Nuclear Regulatory Commission that has the final say on all this stuff, and that's been the frustrating part over the last couple of decades that I've been involved with the power plant, is because the NRC runs on their own. They do their own thing. But I think the EP will stick to the rules. I know there's a filing that's going to try to go against it from Holtec, and we'll see what happens. But we'll keep fighting that as a united coalition of colleagues of mine on both Democrats and Republicans, and we'll keep fighting that.
Carrie, same question.
Oop, did you?
I had a follow up. Just a follow up. This is kind of personal for Matt. Do you think you'll be more effective as a senator in that regard rather than as a representative, as you are?
Yeah. I really do think so. I think when you go from the Finance Committee to the Select Board, and I was on the Select Board, you felt really hopeless. Then I got as a state rep, I was like, okay, yeah, I have a little say in this now. But then as a senator, when there's only 40 of you, people look at you a little bit differently. And particularly with the 20 years of experience I have with that power plant, I know the pros and cons of that whole thing. So I think they will look at me differently.
I'm sorry, Carrie.
Oh, that's okay.
I couldn't ask you that question. Yeah. Maybe sometime.
Yes,
but not
yes.
Right now. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
So I would just say I agree with a lot of what Matt said on that. The one thing that I am a little leery of is – I know that a couple of years ago, back in 22, when I was running, there were some talks about that they actually were already trickling the water, you know, in. And, you know, people kind of forget about that they were already kind of doing this. So I kind of push back a little bit on Matt on this one, that he was the rep. He is the rep. You know, Sue Moran was standing out there talking like, we can never let this happen. It was happening. I was at a meeting in Plymouth where they literally admitted that, well, yes, there's a little bit that's trickled in. So I think what we need to do is we need to push back on, to your point, the you know, Keating and Markey and Warren, because they have more control. They have more say when it comes to the federal side of things with EPA. So I think we need to push them harder, because we can never allow that to happen. There's already too much regulation. You know, it's – sorry.
Do you, 30 seconds and we're going to go to break.
Just to correct Carrie a little bit, that's called refueling. And whenever the plant refuels, and they were open, I think, in 1972, every, you know, several years they refuel and the water gets discharged. Mm-hmm. So that's a normal process of it. When you look at the science versus the reality, you know, that's really the issue. But now we have a perception that there's going to be this water being thrown into the the Cape Cod Bay, and what it's going to do to the economy of Plymouth. And that's the reality that we're living with now.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Political Forum here, the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat in the Republican primary. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. Oh, look, it's Matt Dorsey from Dorsey Plumbing and Heating. What are you doing?
You know, Jeff, just tucking in my shirt, not my customers. But seriously, Jeff, remember those heat pumps we installed for you last year? Those are eligible for MassSave rebates.
Oh, yeah. We got the rebate?
Of course you got the rebates, Jeffrey. We do that for you.
You're such a good friend. You are the best friend a guy could ever have.
Jim Dorsey and Son. Plumbing, HVAC, and fire sprinklers. Jim Dorsey and Son. We tuck our shirts in.
Located in downtown Whitman, McWiggin's Pub is a fashionable, upscale Irish sports pub with a lively bar and dining room. With all the class of a Boston pub, McWiggin serves a great pub menu featuring favorites like beer-battered fried pickles, Reuben sandwiches, shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, and meatloaf. And of course, they have Guinness on tap. McWiggin's is a great place to eat, drink, and socialize with family and friends. With 8 flat-screen TVs, you'll always find yourself in the center of the action of your favorite team. And don't forget the patio at McWiggin's right next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in downtown Whitman.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
We're back in Studio B. It's the Plymouth Barnstable State Senate seat for the Republican primary. Matt Moratori, Carrie McRae in studio here. And of course, as we said earlier, if you're not sure if that's your district, it's Plymouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Plimpton, Bourne, Falmouth, Mashpee, and Sandwich. I'm Christine James, your moderator, also asking questions with me, Bobby Clark, and Tom Gorman. And right before we went to the break, I think we were getting ready to go to Tom for the question for the candidates. Tom?
Recent years have been a lot of people and businesses leaving Massachusetts. Why do you think that is, and what can be done to reverse that trend?
Let's start with Carrie.
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, I work for a small business right now, and when every year he has to do his filings, and it's $500 to refile for his small business here in Massachusetts, and he also has a small business in New Hampshire, and it's, I think, $150, right? Those are the types of issues that we're dealing with, is people realize that they can keep more of their money. You've got the millionaires tax, which is impacting everybody, not just the millionaires. There's too many taxes. They're taking too much from people who want to do better and thrive and support. I mean, small businesses, that's where most people, you know, are employed. So the fact that we aren't doing more to promote small business and we're losing small and big businesses, That's a major issue. I mean, we need to do better.
I think we spend a lot of time in Massachusetts on large companies and try to attract large companies here in Massachusetts, which is great to have. But yes, the small businesses are the backbone of our economy. There are more small businesses combined than there are large corporations that employ people. And I think a lot of it has to do with the regulations that have been put on small businesses over the last, you know, several years. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, some the taxes that have been added on, some particularly payroll taxes. You know, and we need to do some more tax incentives, some tax credits, some tax cuts, you know, to really help small businesses here in Massachusetts, because they do help the entire economy. And that's how you start making things affordable. You know, one of the reasons we closed our daycare center, we had it for 20 years. Small business, we had 3 daycare centers. We had closed one in Bourne. We couldn't get the help. It was getting too expensive to get help. And the same thing up in Kingston and Plymouth, the same thing. So we just decided, let's sell to a larger company, because a larger company can do better than a small company can. And that's just the reality of what we went through as a small business.
Did you want to do any follow-up with that? You know, I'm going to skip to another question. I was thinking about that, but when you said that about the reality you couldn't get enough help. Mm. Well, of course, a lot of these towns here in your district have seasonal help come in, mm-hmm. and they can't find places to live either.
Yeah.
And so that's a different kind of a housing issue for your district. What can be done?
Yeah, well, that's the issue. And the one daycare we closed was in Bourne. It was the only one of 3 that we had open during COVID. Staff was great. They wanted to stay open during the emergency, and it was wonderful. We cared for a lot of people. And then after COVID was over, the summer hit. The summer hit, and then they could now go to restaurants. They were burnt out. They could go to restaurants, and they couldn't make the money that they were getting paid. And they are underpaid, but we rely on a lot of the state and private people to pay, and it just wasn't there. It just wasn't there to do it. So we finally just had to close it. So I think you have to somehow get more incentives for people to work by paying more, having the state subsidize it, the ones that they do subsidize, in particularly child care, and somehow figure out the housing part for people, and affordable housing and a workforce housing for people.
Carrie, what do you think? Seasonal workers, they come in. Some of the rents there are just insane over the summer. It's like just the pay by the week. Some of them seem, what used to be, seems less than 10 years ago, what people were charging by the month.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fix that problem?
Well, I think there's a lot of components to it, like Matt, you know, highlighted, that they all kind of work together. We don't have enough housing to begin with. We don't have enough that's affordable, you know, and then, you know, we talk about workforce housing. We need more workforce housing. But frankly, workforce housing, it's like we can't do anything specific to, you know, accommodate for nurses or things like that, because that becomes discriminatory, right? So it's not like we can say, oh, we're going to build this unit near this hospital to support police, and you can't do that because it's discriminatory. So I say that's a big you know, that's a big problem for us, too, is we need to have more affordable housing, but it all kind of works together because those seasonal employees, they really, they support our community and they add value because they come here, they want to experience what it's like to live here. And oftentimes those people come here because they meet people and they want to be part of our community, you know, permanently.
You want to add something? 30 seconds.
Yeah, just one thing. On the islands, Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, on our senior housing company, we actually work with the two nursing homes on both of the islands. And Martha's Vineyard is actually building a new nursing home, and with it, they're building workforce housing with it as well for the workers that are going to be working in that new nursing home.
Think that's going to be a trend?
I think you're going to see more of a trend. I think Nantucket is looking at the same model.
Okay, and everything what Nantucket is what like a starter home like $1.6 million
yeah,
there
absolutely.
Something crazy
yeah,
like
it's
that.
Crazy, yeah, yeah.
Carrie, anything else you
that's
wanted
crazy.
To add about that?
Well, I think that's great to hear, but I think it's interesting too because there's probably going to be some pushback. Because, you know, if there are other people that work at other parts in the community, there's going to be discriminatory problems because if these people get the housing over someone else, I think that might, you know, cause some issues.
Okay. Bobby Clark,
I'm
going to
switch subjects again. We're going to talk about the county. The county represents 27 communities plus the city of Brockton. I once talked to an official in the years that I've been reporting, and that person was an official in the state government, and she told me that she could get rid of the county in an hour. Mm-hmm. So I would like to ask you, you're up there at the state, up there, would you get rid of county government, or would you not, and why?
I've heard that same person say the same thing years ago. But I don't think there's any willpower to do it, and I don't think I would do it. And I'll tell you why. I think they proved they proved their worth recently mm-hmm. when they did the CARES Act and the money and the efficiency that they got out much better than the state did. And I know Plymouth made out tremendously, you know, twice as much as they probably would have got through the state. So I do think that. I also think that if we want to make it more. More effective, I think, by giving them more funding in the state budget to do things like a board of health, a regional board of health that's through the county, or other things like that. The county does, works wonderful in other parts of the country, and we need to kind of support it in order to do that. They showed here that they could do it. We need to support it some more to try to do some other things to try to save municipalities money as well.
Carrie?
Yeah, I would say I agree. I think that we definitely saw that the county commission, they did a great job during COVID. I will say that I don't necessarily agree with, what did you say about the health, you know, having like a health department that's county? Because, again, I think all the towns are so different that I think it's important for the towns to, you know, have control of that. But as far as the county, I think they do a good job. And I think that there's a lot that, as legislators, we can learn from how they balance their budgets and what they've done and for allocating their resources. I think there's a lot we could learn from them.
Just one follow-up question, and I know you'll be representing many communities, but in Plymouth in particular, we have the county woodlot, which is on Long Pond Road, a very, very busy road. The county woodlot has been under consideration by the county to be used for many things. Mm-hmm. And some of the things people find objectionable, a racetrack was floated at one point in time. That seems to have disappeared. Nevertheless, the county woodlot will at some point in time be used for something. And do you have any thoughts about the best use of the county woodlot?
I don't, but I can tell you, like, the horse track race, and I just want to let you know about that. We have legislation pending that was a home rule petition to the town of Plymouth that would all not just allow the selectmen to not approve or approve a horse track racing, but also the people have to go to a vote. So that legislation is pending and should be out in the next month or two. But there's a lot of things that have been floated out there. I think a sports complex may be nice, kids' sports complex where, you know, they could play soccer and hockey and all that. That may be a nice niche there because a lot of that would be on weekends. But the traffic is still the issue in that area, and that's what we have to be able to look at. I have seen a plan recently that has the traffic go through Camelot Park and get on to another exit off of Route 3. But, you know, where's that money going to come from? state's not going to come up with that money. So we got to figure that stuff out. But I think a sports complex may make sense. Housing and other things at this point, it's going to create traffic? I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think the housing would be, you know, an issue because I know that that's floated around, too. I mean, a sports complex, you know, that's great, right? You know, use the space for the community. Let them kind of decide. You know, have we had a poll question that's gone out to the community and said, hey, what would you like us to do with this space? That's something that would be a great idea, too.
Tom Gorman, questions?
Some communities have voiced concern about the state aid formula. They say it's unfair. How money is allocated. What are your thoughts about that?
Carrie?
Well, you know, I haven't dove into it too much or dived into it too much, but I will say that I've heard arguments about, you know, it should be per, you know, per capita per person, and then it doesn't seem like that's the way it is right now. I don't know exactly why there's a difference there, but I think at the end of the day, it needs to be something that's balanced, that makes sense. So I don't really know the whole formula. Maybe Matt can enlighten me a little bit here about that.
Okay. 30 seconds, Matt.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to that is I think the state aid formula, it's worth looking at. It's been around for decades, and I think it's time to start looking at the state and the Chapter 70 money for schools as well, and start looking at these things with a commissioner or something and come up with some best plans.
Okay. One of you will be up against a very well-funded Democrat in the fall, endorsed by the governor. The district is not necessarily as conservative as it once was. How do you plan to beat your opponent? Matt?
I tell people I need enough money to win. And what we've done is we put a plan together. I run it like a business, and we put a plan together, and we execute the plan throughout, and we know how much we need, the budget we need to raise the money. So right now I've raised over almost $90,000 to date, and we have plans to raise a lot more to actually win this race. So, again, I don't think it's all about money, and the district is somewhat it's probably more purple. That's why I wore my purple shirt today. I think it's more purple.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and it's not far leaning left and progressive as the Democratic challenger will be. I mean, he represents the islands and Woods Hole, which is great. He does well for those. But this is a purple area, and there are a lot more conservatives, particularly in Bourne and Sandwich, in the Pembroke area, and you know, Plymouth. I've been able to win for I've 7 elections in a row. I've won. As selectmen and as well as a state rep. So,
what do you think? Same question, Carrie. Up against a very well-funded candidate in the fall election.
Well, I think well-funded, yes, but backed by Maura Healey right now. I don't think that's grabbing too many brownie points. I will say that when I saw that she came out right away, I was like, yes, that's all right. Bring it on, right? We're struggling. We have people, 1,100 people are leaving a week. And you know what? When you look at Dylan Fernandes, he's progressive, liberal, Democrat. You know, the Democrat Party is not what it used to be. It's not the Kennedy's Democrat Party in Massachusetts anymore. What's happening is it's being taken over by, you know, people who want to have more of a socialist type of government. We see it here in our state. It's been creeping in for years. So I think that as much as, he's vying for the seat, I think either one of us will absolutely beat him, no matter what the funds are. If the message is right and we know that we're on the right side of things and common sense and we can't afford it, somebody like Dylan Fernandes should be representing, if anything, Cambridge, not the Plymouth and Barnstable District.
Okay. Question? Bobby Clark?
I was listening to what you were saying.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, a little fiery. That's really interesting about Cambridge. Mm. Would you, the city of Brockton, I believe, just banned the use of cell phones in schools. Would you ban the use of cell phones in school? Would you advocate that statewide?
What do you think, Harry?
Statewide, I wouldn't. Look, there's certain things that need to be handled locally. And, you know, the teachers, the schools, there are certain things that need to be handled in the schools with the school departments and stuff. Because you know what? Look, it's like guns. You ban guns. If they told us, everybody, you cannot have guns, guess what? They're still going to have guns. People are still going to be out there with guns. Same thing happens with cell phones. They will be smart. And you know what? You can't be body searching kids. You know, they're going to get away with it one way or the other. So as far as managing it in the schools, I think it's very important because that's a problem. Absolutely. I'm a teacher. I see it. It's a problem. But with respect and conversations and control of your classroom, You don't need any legislation to tell you you can't have cell phones in school.
Matt?
The only thing I'd add is, you know, you don't need legislation. You need the schools to do that. In Plymouth, the schools have done that for several years now. Mm-hmm. They've been able to do this and do it effectively, and I think it's up to the school systems to do that.
Sorry, I just got to take this call. Just kidding.
Oh, you're so fresh. That was good. Thank you.
What do you question, Tom Gorman?
Do you believe that global warming is causing rising sea levels? And if so, what can be done to address that?
Start with you, Matt.
Yeah, you know, we see the answer is yes. I think there are some issues with that that you see. We see on the coast of Plymouth, we have 33 miles worth of coastline. And, you know, we've been out there several times over the last 10 years working with neighbors, working with the town to figure out ways on the erosion of the beaches that are happening. One example down in the southern part of Plymouth in Cedarville, there were houses that, you know, 10 years ago, had 200 yards or 200 feet or more of grass space to the edge, and now they're like 50, 60. So it's coming fast. Housing values are starting to drop because of that. There was one house that sold about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, that would have sold for probably 1.2, 1.4. It sold for $500,000. Because there wasn't much more left. But, you know, these are federal regulations that are causing a lot of these issues, but we got to try to figure it out as a state how to balance all that.
Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I would look at, yes, global warming, things are changing. You know, the environment's always changing. I think part of the issue is mankind. You know, we get involved. I mean, look at the wind turbines. I feel like the wind turbines should not be in the ocean. We have plenty of deserts here in the United States. Let's put them out there. That makes the most sense, right? What is it going to impact? Maybe some scorpions or some snakes. When we are putting these in the ocean and really not doing the research, those could be, you know, there's a lot of heat that's thrown off from what I hear with some people I talk to that hooey, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's heat that's thrown off. Okay, we're sitting here having conversations about global warming, and we want to put another 100 or another 90 wind turbines in the ocean. I don't know. Some of the stuff I think we're inflicting on ourselves, and we got to look at the picture and see what we can do to bring it back.
Okay. Questions? You've got 8 very different towns. Did I jump ahead of you? It's okay. I know. You know, I'm going to make Bobby mad. 8 very different towns make up the district. Some people say there are two different worlds on both sides of the canal. How do you plan to represent the interests of all these communities? Carrie?
You know, I think right now, affordability and immigration is impacting every single town. And it's getting worse. It's not getting better. I think, you know, one of the biggest things for me as a state senator is to be involved every day, for it to be a full-time job. You know, we have legislators that, you know, kind of, I hear it from the town clerks and some of the towns, they're like, oh, we hear from the legislators when it's election time. We don't hear from them other than that, unless there's some hot topic. Those are the types of things I think that, for me, I want to be present in all the communities and make sure that we're advocating for things that apply to them individually. And you'll find some common things as well.
Same question, Matt.
Yeah, so this has been a full-time job for me for quite a while now. And I think, again, what's resonated on both sides of the bridge is the balance of power, the migrant crisis, and affordability. So no matter where we go door knocking, that's what we hear. Obviously, the Cape has a little bit of difference because of the bridge issue and the replacement of the bridge. Obviously, we like to replace both bridges, but it looks like only one will be replaced right now. And there's some other issues that are a little bit different, but I think there's commonality in all those other things that I just talked about. And one of the things for me, there's several reasons why I decided to run for this. I realized that I live 5 minutes from the Sagamore Bridge, and I am equal distance to Woods Hole as I am to Pembroke. It takes me 45 minutes to get to either place for other spots. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Even in the summer?
Even in the summer, because you know why? Because my wife's family's from Falmouth. They live in Falmouth still, and we go down there a lot. So we know the time to go. We know the back roads to go, et cetera. So, you know, we've been down there for decades, so we get it.
Absolutely.
Well, I am too, I will say.
Okay.
Yes, I live right. Actually, the crow fly, I think we're like a mile from each other, actually. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, kind of the same thing for me, too. When I looked at it back in 22, mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? We're like smack dab in the middle, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about both of you being up there at the State House, and if and when either of you get there, what committees would you want to work on? Ways and Means. Begin with you, Matt.
I would love to keep the Ways and Means. I'm the assistant ranking minority member on Ways and Means right now. I would love to continue with that. I also think tourism is big for us as well. I was on tourism for 8 years. Just the last 2 years, I was taken off of that, but I'd love to get on tourism again and continue the work that we started in Plymouth and the other parts of the Cape communities as well, and probably small businesses as well that I just started being on this year. I think that's an important one to bring up to your question about small businesses. With my background and experience in small business, I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, for me, it would probably be the small business, definitely, and then also I would say probably the tourism because, you know, the whole district – you know, maybe not so much in a couple of the towns. Tourism is huge, you know, for the whole district. So I would say that the two of them, because, you know, small business and tourism, you know, they kind of work together. So it'd be great because you'd be, you know, meeting with the same groups, you know, to enhance that.
Okay. Another question?
Yes.
Okay.
What would be your approach of balancing the historical preservation to the needs of communities?
Carrie?
So balancing preservation, like you mean for like historical?
Yes.
And things like, absolutely. I mean, I think that this is something where the county comes in great too, because they can advocate to bring in more resources and get some resources allocated to that. I know in the town of Bourne, you know, I've been very involved with historical society and the museums and things like that. So I think it's very important that we don't lose the fabric of our historical areas. You know, in Bourne, there is, I mean, Pembroke, all the towns. And, you know, part of that MBTA issue and part of, populating and things, that's going to make an impact there. So, definitely all for that.
Matt?
I'd add to that by advocating for being on the tourism committee to advocate for a lot of these communities that will be turning 400. And a lot of them are going to be turning 400. Plymouth was the first one. We were able to get tens of millions of dollars for the Plymouth 400. Really, it was for the infrastructure that has been put in place in Plymouth. Not so much for the party that they talked about, but it's really for the infrastructure to last for decades to come. And I think that's important for these other communities that are going to be turning as well. And I'd love to be able to be part of that, take the knowledge I have from the Plymouth part of it and what we did there to preserve history and combine it with tourism and do the same for the other communities.
Okay. We're going to go to our lightning round now. And this is where the reporter will ask the questions, and the answer is either yes or no, or one or two sentences. And a break with tradition, I'm not going to ask Plymouth County government stay or go, because Bobby already asked it as a long
good job,
a long form question. So, Tom, do you have any lightning round questions for the candidates?
What's your opinion about term limits?
Two sentences, Matt.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely for on all levels of government.
Okay. Bobby Clark.
Would you favor a ban on the sale of NIPS?
Carrie?
Absolutely not.
Matt?
No.
Okay. In a tribute to our own Charlie Mathewson, what's your favorite bad habit? Matt, be honest. No Eddie Haskell
bite
answers.
My fingernails.
What about them?
I bite them.
Okay. Carrie, tell us your deepest, darkest secret.
Thanks a lot.
I would say my biggest bad habit is not pausing before I speak.
Okay. Okay.
I agree with that.
Bobby Clark.
Would you support a ban on the use? Would you support a ban on single-use plastic containers?
Carrie?
No.
Matt?
Ban a use? No.
I
don't think ban a use, but okay. Add a deposit.
Okay. Do you have a hidden talent, and what is it? Matt? Lightning.
I can only produce girls. I don't know.
PG-13. Carrie?
Funny. Hidden talent. I would say that I can start a conversation. My husband picks up.
Okay, there you go. All right, that's the lightning round. We're going to go to closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order. 1 minute, please. Let's start with Matt and then go to Carrie.
All right. Well, thank you very much, first of all, for for hosting this debate. I really appreciate all of you for doing this. We are facing unique and challenging times in our communities. Working together, we can overcome so much to be stronger as a district. There is still much work, such as solving the migrant crisis, creating tax cuts to make Mass more affordable and competitive, increasing mental health and substance abuse services, supporting small business by providing tax incentives, protecting our environment in Cape Cod Bay, along with creating meaningful, affordable and workforce housing. The opportunity to serve this community has been an honor and privilege of my lifetime. I'm proud of all that we've been able to accomplish in Plymouth and now want to bring all these accomplishments and knowledge and experience to the other seven communities. There is so much work to do, and I ask for your vote on September 3rd so that I can continue to be the voice and advocate to the needs of the residents of Pembroke, Plimpton, Kingston, Plymouth, Sandwich, Bourne, Falmouth, and Mashpee. Together, let us keep progress moving. Thank you for your consideration and vote.
Thank you. That was Matt Moratori's closing statement. Now let's go to Carrie McCray.
Okay. So again, thank you so much for holding this forum, and excellent questions, by the way. Every election offers voters a choice. The race for the Republican nomination for state Senate in the Plymouth and Barnesville district is no different. Matt Moratori has been a state representative for almost 10 years. He's a nice guy. I like Matt personally, but his voting record as a Republican for me is a little less than desirable. I will say, Matt's been in office for 10 years. Dylan has been in office on Beacon Hill for almost 8 years. And if you think we're doing better than we were doing than 8 or 10 years ago, vote for Matt or Dylan. They represent the status quo. I am the only Republican candidate strong enough and bold enough to take on the ultra-liberal progressive Democrat in the November 5th general election and win. If you want change, real change, I encourage you to vote for me, Carrie McCray. I will not let you down.
Thank you. That was a closing statement, Carrie McCray. The September 3rd is the primary. Stay tuned to WATD. Of course, we'll be bringing you live coverage. Our primary show kicks off at 8 o'clock that night. We've got reporters in the field. We've got analysts in here. We'll be bringing you every exciting moment about what happens. Get out and vote. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I want to thank the candidates both being here tonight.
Thank you.
Matt Moratori, Carrie McCray, Bobby Clark asking questions, Tom Gorman asking questions, Charlie Fulmer timing, and of course our media partner for this, the local scene, PAC TV. This will be up on our website tomorrow. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.